Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Chicken Bone.
It's on like a pot of chicken bones.
So I saw today on Twitter that they are maybe franchising out a Strange Brew Coffeehouse. We may have to take some of the things we've said in the past back. It may not be weird to find a Strange Brew in some of these places.
So, I hope to God that it's at like an unincorporated. Oh.
My top town. Three would be like Pumpkin Center, Splunge, and
Pumpkin Center is where I live, but I don't know if that's the exact place. But I live,
and then, we call this place Pumpkin Center. Be another one, Yachna.
Yes,
and those are my top three to have the top three choices.
If he would like to bring a Strange Brew to this Pumpkin Center,
yeah.
Like right across the street from me or something, I would do it.
I'm thinking about the same place that you are. Let's see here.
It's probably not that we call this area Pumpkin Center, but
okay, Pumpkin Center that I'm looking at is near New Albany.
Yeah, like that. It's not officially. It's not officially called Pumpkin Center. That's just the from what I understand on our family land, they used to grow pumpkins out here many, many years ago. Okay. And so we've always, since I was a kid, my papaw called it Pumpkin Center. But the area that I'm at is technically Sherwood or Reform.
Okay.
So.
Any of those places.
There we go.
Weird for a Strange Brew. But guess what? If you want Strange Brew coffee in those places, you can get it right now. Just have it shipped right to you at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Every purchase supports the Bulldog Initiative. Just like you do with our friends at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. Simply put, to get people in the front door, you need to call Pip Printing and Signs. If you need signage for the inside or the outside of your business, if you need banners, if you need mailers, whatever it is, Pip Printing and Signs has a plan for you. If you're a business owner, you already spend money on printing. So if you're a business owner and a Mississippi State fan, you can support the Bulldog Initiative and not have to spend any extra money. Just give your business.
Okay.
That's very serious business. To Pip Printing and Signs, tell them you heard about them here on Thunder and Lightning. 10% of whatever you do with them goes straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your business's name. So it's a win-win for you. Call Camden Baker, 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you guys are looking for. I was on the College Corner website today, by the way, Robbie. I'd like to point out some very important news that I noticed, I think, for the first time today. So if you go to collegecornerstore.com, there's like a big divider, right? There's one side that says Ole Miss and the other side Mississippi State, right? The state side is now the state script.
Oh, yes.
So they have updated. So they're on board.
We're getting there. There's a few things that we have to fix. Like ESPN never has the right logo. If it's baseball, I would really enjoy for them to have the M over S. But if they're not going to do that, can we change that to state script, please? There's a few little loose ends that have to be tied up.
We're getting there. And some of those loose ends are in people's closets right now. They're still wearing those banner M polos and T-shirts. Get them out. And let's head to College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Get your wardrobe updated for the new era here at Mississippi State at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. If you are a person like me, for lunch, you love a good blue plate, the best in town, maybe the best in the state of Mississippi, right there at Restaurant Tyler. Catfish, chicken, hamburger steak, pork chops, fried scrimp. They got it all. Great selection of veggies. And, of course, the best cornbread. Really the only cornbread I'll eat. I'm not eating anybody else's cornbread, but I like Restaurant Tyler's cornbread. It's good. Great desserts. And if you don't want a blue plate, man, they got burgers, sandwiches on the menu as well, plus daily lunch and dinner specials. So it's always a treat to head over to Restaurant Tyler here in Starkville. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. That means there's one near you if you live in Central Mississippi. And so it's just that simple. You can make it easy on yourself and your finances by opening an account with Priority One Bank. Everything that a big corporate bank gives you, plus the additional service that you get from these small community banks. It's the best of both worlds when you work with Priority One. If you're a Priority One customer, I don't need to tell you how great their app is. It's a smooth, streamlined app. You can do a lot more on there than just move your money around. It makes banking easy for you. That's just what Priority One Bank is about. They're about making banking easy for you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. A lot to talk about here on a Tuesday. Mississippi State jumping back into the polls. I think, 23 in the D1 poll and 16?
16th in the D1 poll.
16 in D1 and then 23 in Baseball America. I was a little surprised by the Baseball America ranking because they were six spots behind Vanderbilt, the team they just beat, a team they have a better record than in the conference. That was a little bit surprising. 16th is also a little bit surprising. That's a big jump to go from unranked to that far into the top 20. And it just continues to show, you know, I saw chat with Kendall Rogers. They talked about Mississippi State possibly hosting. That's just officially happening now. That buzz is there, and the path is – one thing I like about this scenario, Robbie, is that the path is just very clearly defined. You know, in years past, it's been like – especially when you're talking about being a top 8 seed, it's like, well, if this happens, but this needs to happen, you got to watch this team over there. It's super simple for Mississippi State. You have 3 weeks left in the season, right? I'm going to say 10 games, and I'm going to assume that North Alabama game gets canceled, right? 3-1, 1-2, 3-0, you're hosting.
Yeah, I mean, it started last week against Auburn. I don't know where it began, but we just kind of all started talking about, you know, if they did this and this, they could probably end up hosting. It's gotten past the point when you crossed over the 9-win threshold, which has been difficult for them to do in SEC play the last 2 years. When you did that, it kind of appeared that you're getting close to locking up an actual regional. So now when you lock up a regional, your thoughts start to shift to what can you do next? And I'm not saying State's locked up a regional, but it, like we said yesterday, would take a pretty amazing collapse for them not to make the tournament at this point. Now you start to talk about, okay, what can you do to improve your standings to get to that hosting threshold? And to me, it has been clear for the last couple of weeks, 18 is the number for me. That's been my number. I feel very good about if Mississippi State gets to 18 wins in SEC play. I know they did that in 14 or whatever, but I think it's a little different this time around. I think if State can get to 18, this is a host spot this year. So the easiest way, the way that makes the most sense, because you've struggled with Arkansas over the years, is to find a way to win a game there. And if you somehow win the series, then you're playing with house money at that point. But you find a way to win a game there and you win both of these next two series at home, and you need to sweep one of them. So whether that be Alabama or Missouri, whatever, but that's kind of the blueprint, I think, for Mississippi State doing it. But just like I said last week, this is a week-to-week deal for me. I think it's just you take the weekend as it comes, you attack it, you get every SEC win that you possibly can and see where the chips fall. But the overall picture, when you look at it, to me it is – basically, two more SEC losses is all you're afforded. And with 17, who knows? But I think 18 is probably the safe bet.
Yeah. How many SEC hosts do you think you're going to end up with at this point? I mean, we know that four of them are going to happen, right? We know that Kentucky, Tennessee,
Arkansas,
Texas A&M, they're all going to host for sure. And then it just becomes, who's the fifth one, and is there a sixth one? You might say. I think South Carolina has a great chance to be a host. They had a good weekend this weekend. They got two from Kentucky. Their RPI is in the top 20, I believe. Let me double check that.
11th.
Georgia is an interesting one because their RPI is very, very good, but they're not very, very good in conference play. Right now, Georgia is 9th in RPI, but they're 10 and 11. If they could somehow string off some wins and they could get to like 10 and 11, if they won six of their final nine games, if they went 6-3 the rest, and I don't know who they play off the top of my head, but they, if they could get to 16 wins, maybe even 15 wins, they could be a host seed because their RPI is just so good. South Carolina RPI right now is currently 11th. Yeah, so they're probably going to host. Can the SEC get six host sites?
Possibly. You know, it kind of just depends on the finish for these schools. I mean, you just don't know. There's still 3 weeks to go, and a lot can happen in those 3 weeks. And we saw Mississippi State in 16 surge to win the SEC championship by what they did in the last 3 weeks. You know, and State's chances drastically improve if they somehow go to Arkansas and win a series or something. And I'm not predicting that, but who's to say that, you know, they don't go there and win that series? That changes everything for you at that point. And then you could win, you could lose this series this weekend. Mm-hmm. And that at that point puts some pressure on you to finish it out in the next two series to secure a regional spot. But I think State at this point is kind of teetering on, like, it feels like they're safely in the NCAA tournament, but things can happen that will eliminate that. But at the same time, it feels like there's so much more that they can do. It's kind of like you're at a pivotal moment of your season here where you can control your own fate of what happens to you. And that's what's going to be really interesting over these next 3 weeks to see what Mississippi State's able to do and accomplish. I mean, they're playing some really good baseball right now, but it's one of those deals where you got to keep the foot on the gas pedal here and not take a single SEC game for granted.
State has three games this weekend with Alabama. They're 14th. Ole Miss on Wednesday, they're 27th, but that's a neutral site game. It's almost better for State to go 2-1 in the SEC series and get that win on Wednesday, isn't it? The neutral site game helps you out just a little bit more.
It does, because it's a neutral site game that's a non-conference game that improves your non-conference strength of schedule, because Ole Miss, even with sitting there at 23-20, they're 27th in the RPI. And I don't think that's going to drop tremendously unless they start losing some of these midweek games or whatever.
Right. Well, they should have a whole lot of midweek games left, you would think.
Two, I guess.
Yeah, at most.
Well, right? It would just be one after one this, right?
They have one with State. And then, let's see here. So here's Ole Miss's remaining. They have another one with Southern. So, yeah, their midweek games are actually really
not.
They have three. They have Murray State on the 8th. Let me see what Murray is. Murray is 75, though. So Ole Miss doesn't have a terrible non-conference game remaining. But then in the conference, they are at Auburn this weekend. That is the series that will determine who doesn't go to the Ole Miss's three final series. We're going to determine who doesn't go from the West, right? Because they're at Auburn, and then they have is that at home? They're at Baton Rouge. So six games on the road against the other two teams they're fighting, try to go to Hoover against. And in between there, oh, by the way, they host Texas A&M.
Ooh.
Ole Miss.
Yikes.
Okay, so I Ole Miss will get at least one apiece from LSU and Auburn. They'll get at least one. They might win one of those series. They're probably looking at like 10 wins. They're not going to, I don't think they'll get one off A&M.
I don't think so either.
They're probably looking at finishing 10-20.
Oof.
That, I don't know what LSU's schedule is off the top of my head. Let's see. See if I can find it here. This doesn't do that, so never mind. But regardless,
I don't think LSU's going to have quite as bad as a season after their national championship as State and Ole Miss, but
it might make it to Hoover.
Yeah.
But I don't think Auburn, they have three wins, right? I don't think they're going to win seven of their last nine to finish 10-20 and get to Hoover. Auburn's done at this point.
Yes. No,
so
they're done.
So you have Missouri at 6-15 and then Ole Miss and LSU are 7-14. So those are the teams. Those two teams are battling it out for one spot. LSU has a tiebreaker on Missouri. They took two out of three from them. And then Ole Miss and LSU still have to play, so somebody will have a tiebreaker there. It's going to be tough for the Rebels. Right now, as it stands, the 5-12 game, which is what Mississippi State would play in, would be against Ole Miss. And if that ends up being needing a game that Mississippi State needs to win, that's a decent resume game, right? Again, you're playing what is currently, and they would probably at that point be like a top 40, maybe top 50 team, but it would be a neutral site game. So that would be a good resume booster. If you need a win in the SEC tournament, that would be one.
Yeah, for sure. I just don't have a lot of faith in this program right now in the SEC tournament after what we've seen in 19 and 21. And they didn't even make it the last 2 years, so the SEC tournament hasn't been good to the Bulldogs.
19 wasn't that bad. They won the first game and then lost the next two. It wasn't too terrible. The 21 one was – Chris Lamonis tries to sell to me on that one. I will never, ever believe that he didn't just want to lose two and get out of there. Never believe it ever once in this life.
I mean, they still had to play 17 innings of 19. So, I mean, it's like what I'm saying is right. Like they haven't exactly played super inspiring baseball in Hoover under Chris Lamonis.
No.
So it's been a while since they've gone. That used to be a place. You know, John Cohen loved the SEC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
He'd do everything possible to win it.
Yeah.
But it's just been like a shift, I think. I'm not accusing Chris Lamonis for going in there and throwing it. I'm just saying I don't think that they're super – I don't think
2021, I am accusing him of that. I don't care what he says. He's told me directly. He's like, no, we were trying. I refuse to believe.
I don't think they're trying to lose. I just don't think that they're going out of their way to pitch their best guys.
The good news with that, Robbie, is, like you said, they haven't been the last 2 years. So all the guys who were part of that, we don't really care, they're all gone. This is a fresh group. And they've never been. They would probably want to go over there and make a good impression.
Yeah, and that – I don't know how – I've always wondered how much stock the committee puts into tournaments because there's been – it's been said before that a lot of times the regionals are almost set by the end of the tournaments and they might move up a team or two, but it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of stock put into those. But maybe you could – maybe if you're like – if you got 17 SEC wins and you win a couple of games in the tournament, you can move yourself into hosting discussion. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting stuff.
It is really coming down. Am I okay? Is it okay if I look outside? Will you be okay if I look outside at the rain?
Oh, is it raining?
Yes, pouring down rain.
You may look now. Look now.
Okay. All right, am I good?
Oh, you're good. You're good. You're constantly doing it. I worry that there's like a Bigfoot out there or something.
I mean, you've known me – you've known me for a long time. You've known me for probably 10-plus years at this point.
That's correct.
You know that I'm very ADHD. I'm constantly talking with my hands. I'm very fidgety. I can't sit still. I'm always looking around. I mean, it shouldn't be that big of a surprise to you.
Who said it was a surprise? I myself...
You were very concerned.
Oh, okay, you've known me for a long time. You know that I'm a very concerned person. I worry about my friends.
I don't believe that. When have you ever been worried about me?
All the time.
No, you don't care.
I care a great deal.
You don't care about me.
You never have. Now you're just making up lies. Is all that's happening. All right, we good? We all right? I thought we were friends.
I thought we were friends.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, I think the main thing to consider here is just how laid out. I mean, there is going to be very little deviation. I think State next week or this week, 3-1, however you get there. If it's 2-1 against Alabama and you beat Ole Miss, it would sting to lose a third game to Ole Miss. But if you go 3-0 against Alabama, nobody really cares, right? It's just about moving on. 3-1 this week. Next week, don't get swept. Cancel the North Alabama game. Sweep Missouri. At the very least, win the series. You should be good. And, of course, you know, it's fluid, right? It depends on what else happens, right? South Carolina looks great right this second, but they could fall apart. They could lose a couple series in a row, and then you don't know. So, we'll see. And, of course, the same thing goes for Mississippi State. They could have they haven't had a bad weekend at home this year, but if they decide to have one, that's going to put them behind the eight ball. It's all very straightforward, very very cut and dry what Mississippi State has to do to get into the hosting situation. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Robbie, just real quick, I have something you and I may have to participate in. Just want to let you know. I'll bring that back in just a minute, though. But I just saw something. I just saw something that we're going to have to maybe get into.
Okay, why not?
This weekend, any weekend, if you're firing up the grill, nothing beats the sizzle of beef. I'm telling you right now, they have incredible the selection at just a regular local grocery store. I shop at Kroger, and the selection of beef they have to offer is incredible. So I can only imagine if you live in a bigger city, you've got Whole Foods or a Publix or one of those bigger grocery stores, man, you probably have got some really great options for beef. Check them out. Enjoy yourself firing up the grill. I love to cook out. I know you guys do too. Also, you know what? We'll talk about that in just a moment. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Yet again, someone has tweeted at Robbie and I discussing how great their experience was at Two Brothers. They were kind enough to send us a picture of the food, the prime rib sandwich that looks like some mac and cheese there. And that's the au jus. That's the au jus. That's the other container there. That sandwich looks fantastic. Thanks to Sarthak Sharma for tweeting at us. Also said his wife got some pimento fritters, some wings. Okay, never mind. I'm about to say, if his wife got all this food, I want to meet his wife. Because she and I got some things in common. I get it now. The pulled pork grilled cheese is what his wife got. They also shared some pimento fritters and wings. Okay.
That's correct.
Like, damn, girl. What's up? You know? Anyway, we're on the same page.
How disrespectful.
Not really. I'm showing great respect. I'm like, hold on. She put away the fritters, the wings, and a sandwich? I want to meet her. I'm just saying. And then look at all the great options they have. That's four things they got, and everything was delicious.
And probably didn't even cost that much money.
I'm just telling you, just from our perspective, that's about pimento fritters, wings, a pulled pork grilled cheese, prime rib. If you just had a couple of soft drinks, that's like $40.
Ain't bad.
Pops. So yeah. That's the other thing about Two Brothers. Not only is the food great, it's great value, man. It's not an expensive place to eat. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they could up the price. I shouldn't say that out loud, though, because then Terry Powell will be listening and be like, oh, I can up the prices? No, I didn't say that. I said nothing. What I said was enjoy some smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they have been doing that for 49 years. That tells you right there that when you buy from Advantage Business Systems, if you buy a new copier or a new printer, new laptop from Advantage Business Systems, if you need service, you know they're going to be there to back that up. They've been doing it for 49 years. You don't stay open unless you take care of your customers. That's what Advantage Business Systems has been doing since day one. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Again, this weekend, so much going on. We got baseball, we got softball, we've got the Starkville Derby. Make sure you look the part with a trip to Maroon & Co. Great, unique Mississippi State gear that you cannot get anywhere else. The logos that you want. They have the Bulldog Initiative gear that only they have. They are the exclusive provider. Custom cowbells from the Bellsmith. And not just clothes, man. Stuff for the house, your tailgate, your lounge spot. Anything maroon and white. Before you go to Duty Noble this weekend, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Robbie, I know we're going to have to go cover softball on Sunday, you and I.
What's going on?
It is Samoan Heritage Day, and we have to go and acknowledge.
We have to acknowledge them?
Yeah, I will be acknowledging Samantha Ricketts, our tribal chief.
Yeah, why not?
We are now we can be part of the bloodline. I'm going to hold on just real quick. We're going to quote tweet that with, and we're going to Roman Reigns acknowledge. All right, here we go. Tweeted at Roman Reigns, let him know that Samoan's Heritage Day is.
Can we get him to campus?
Can he do? He'll throw. We'll let him throw out the first pitch, I would imagine.
Yes.
Yeah. We will settle for anybody else, though. I will not. I don't want. I don't know if I want. Was it Tonga? I don't know. What's his name? The new guy?
Tama Tonga.
I don't want him. I'm scared of him. That guy is freaking.
He's a
scary.
Psychopath.
I don't want any piece of that guy. But if the tribal chief wants to show up, definitely
bring it on.
We have him on.
Maybe all right, the Usos.
So the portal, you know, people come in, people go out. Sometimes people do both. And that's what happened today at Mississippi State. Wilkie Dinon, a guy that I said a few weeks ago, I was interested to see how he worked out. He did. He didn't work out, and now he's back in the portal. Did not have the most impressive spring game or the most impressive spring by anyone's standards, so he moves on. It feels like there's still some more to come as far as the transfer portal going out because State wants to get guys in, and they're just really tight on the numbers. Those have got to be some difficult conversations being had over there in the SEAL building. You're basically telling guys you're just not going to play. And if you want to stay here and be on scholarship and not play, I guess so. Or you may even be going so far to say, look, a scholarship's a year-to-year thing. If you want to be a walk-on, that's fine. But that's that. But State's still got a lot to do. But this is, to my knowledge, is the first one to come in and go out in the same cycle for Mississippi State. I guess it's just the nature. I know you're a big fan of the way college athletics are right now, actually.
I'd hate to be one of the people that's like, I just hate this and it's destroying college athletics, stuff like that. I'm not trying to be that way, but it's just, I mean, this is just so bad. You got guys that are coming in, they're committing in January or December or whatever, coming in, going through spring practice and then leaving again. Like, it's just like this kind of stuff is not sustainable to me. And I don't blame the players for doing it because it's what is right now. It's what has been said by the NCAA or whatever, that you can do basically whatever you want. You can transfer as many times as you want. You can leave whenever you want. It seems like with no repercussions, you just cannot continue to do this. There's no way anybody's getting developed. Nobody's really getting better as a player. It's just it's a mess. And I don't know what you do to fix it, but this is wild. And this probably is not even, you know, Wilkie's fault. I mean, he probably was just told, hey, you're not going to be starting and you might not even be in the two deep. He right. Just wasn't really panning out. So I don't blame him for trying to find another spot. I don't blame him at all. That's just the nature of this whole deal at this point is this is what it's going to be. You don't there's no longer guys that are sitting around working behind other players, perfecting their craft, getting better, waiting for their chance to move in. And that's on coaching staffs too. I mean, they're telling players, hey, you're not gonna play. We gotta get somebody else in here that's gonna help us next year. That's the pressure of having a team that can compete right away is hurting the players too. So it's just a domino effect that goes all the way down into the high school ranks where kids are not going to be able to develop like they usually are, or they're being overlooked by other schools because they're having to take transfer portal players instead of their high school class. It's just a bad thing, I think, for college athletics to set this kind of precedent where you can leave whenever you want to, you can go wherever you want to. I just don't think it's sustainable. I don't think it helps anybody. I think it's nice to give players options. But I don't know if this is the way to do it.
I'll tell you one thing. And a friend of mine brought this up who used to be a coach. And he said, you know, running backs and receivers are one thing, right? You can make a one-year impact as those guys. Defensive linemen, by and large, outside of the elite, and offensive linemen the same way. You know, if you've got a five-star, can't-miss guy, you can play a Jeff Simmons kind of guy, a Robert Kimdiche, one of those guys. You can play them as a true freshman. Or they can come in after 1 year and they're just going to be successful because they're freak athletes, right? But by and large, your defensive linemen and your offensive linemen are guys who have been with the program for a number of years and have developed and switching around and learning new systems is tough. It's just tough. And you think about like the name that came to mind for me is like Braxton Hoyette, right? Braxton Hoyette is not ready to play anywhere after 1 year of college football, right? But had he left Mississippi State after his first year, he probably could have gotten a good NIL deal and gone somewhere. Wouldn't have been ready to play. By the time he was a senior, that guy was a good football player and was able to contribute. That's where the portal, to me, is doing the most damage, is on the lines of scrimmage. Those are guys that need development. They need to stay with the same systems as long as they can. Now, Mississippi State's a little tough, right? You've had three different systems in 3 years. So that's kind of why bringing in new guys this year, I don't know that it hurts Mississippi State as much. But if State had tried that with Mike Leach, if he had brought in four new offensive linemen, I think that would have been a huge disaster for Mississippi State.
Yeah, and you look at State's lost a lot of defensive linemen and offensive linemen in the last two classes that just, kind of processed, moving on. It's almost like you don't even have time to develop players anymore because you're having to focus on getting players in to compete right now. And those players replace the ones that you would normally develop and would be waiting their turn to move in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very flawed system right now, and I know coaches don't like it, but quite honestly, the coaches have started all of this. The coaches getting the big contracts and jumping from place to place, that kind of stuff has started this whole thing because the coaches have been making all the money. The players, it started with the players saying, we want some of the money. And, the coaches get to leave whenever they want to and go to another school. Why can't we do that?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really sympathize with a lot of the coaches that get upset about this when they're making millions of dollars and all of that kind of escalated this to become what it is. But I do see where they're coming from too, that this is not a sustainable product and something that I think has got to be resolved at some point. I think it will be in the next couple of years in some form or fashion. I think it'll, we'll cut down on this significantly, but this is, it's just a cluster, man. Yeah. Like the whole going in the spring somewhere and then transferring after the spring is mind blowing to me.
It's just like you're having tryouts. It really is. They're just having tryouts, and if you make it, you make it. You make it. I don't know how they fix it. I just know that. And again, this was coming from me as a guy I'm fully in favor of players being able to have freedom of movement. I'm fully in favor of players be able to capitalize on their NIL. And I'll be honest with you, if NIL just develops into pay for play, I don't really have an issue with that either. I don't care. But
well, it's happening anyway.
Right.
So.
But it has become a point where it's unsustainable, not only from the school perspective, but from the player perspective. I mean, you've got too many guys who, they're having to learn a hard lesson at 18, 19 years old. 2 years ago, they were a four-star kid out of high school and everybody wanted them. And now they're going to have to go play at a G5 school because, they've just kind of been found out. Whereas in the right system, a four-star kid who obviously had some talent, he had a high athletic ceiling, could have maybe been coaxed out of him. But when it's just churn and burn like this, it's tough. I get it. So, the portal closes today, Tuesday. So I expect some more names from Mississippi State to make their way into the portal. Don't forget, if you see somebody pop up on Thursday and you're like, what happened? Today's the last day you have to apply. The schools have 48 hours to process. So somebody who goes in today, we may not hear about it until Thursday or so. So don't be thinking that people are bending the rules, especially if it's an Ole Miss player. I don't want to hear it. Oh, Ole Miss bending the rules. No, it's not. It's not what it is. Let's go back to women's basketball because you had some information there that you reported on On3 about not only a visitor, a big visitor on campus for Mississippi State, but possibly a new assistant coach coming in. Looks like one that has a pretty decent resume.
Yeah. Samantha Williams coming over from Tennessee. And obviously she was not retained by the new staff over at Tennessee, but was Kelly Harper's assistant and has had almost 20 – I think this will be our 25th year of coaching in women's basketball. So you're talking about somebody that is well-respected in the industry. She coached with Sam Purcell, so she already has that relationship with him as well. And they just got a commitment that I'm going to have to post about. So let me post that story. But – just picked up a commitment from Denham DeShields from UAB, who is, so if you follow women's basketball, her sister was Diamond DeShields that played at Tennessee.
Tennessee, okay.
Yeah. So
I got to ask, just because never mind the running joke that we have on 0-3. Any relation to Delino DeShields?
That's his daughter.
Yes. Yes. We finally did it. We finally made it. Yes.
Talk about a family with a pedigree. Delino, and then her mom was All-American track at Tennessee. Uh-huh.
And then Delino Jr. plays in MLB.
Yes. And then her sister, Diamond, was all WNBA.
Yeah.
So great pedigree. She was really good at UAB last year.
Delino DeShields. Oh, God, Robbie, I'm sorry. He loves the D.
Oh, Lord.
But
sorry, Mom.
Delino DeShields Jr., and then Denim and Diamond are his daughter. Come on. What are we doing here?
And I think her mom has a D for first letter as well.
I will find out. I got to find out. Continue on, though, with what you were saying.
Yeah, so
no, you get that. Doesn't. His wife is Michelle. That's disappointing.
Oh, darn.
That's disappointing that she's not Denise.
That would be incredible.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so anyway, that's a big pickup for Mississippi State, I think. And then they're also trying to get a commitment from Taryn Ward, mm-hmm. who was on
campus this weekend, right?
Yeah, Georgia Southern. She played for Anita Howard, who was just hired at Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. So good weekend so far for the Bulldogs.
And then from the assistant coaching perspective, Samantha Williams coming in from the University of Tennessee, people always make the assumption that, oh, well, she's coming from Tennessee, I bet we'll get a Tennessee player. Probably not the case, but she is a person whose resume and background is one that she should have connections that do prove useful in the portal. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, this is a coach that I like hiring these kind of coaches, because she's gone into living rooms before, just like Sam Purcell did, and has won recruiting battles against other Power Five schools. She knows how to go in there and sell and finish the job.
Yeah.
And, you know, a coach told me one time, I was talking to a coach about, you know, Mississippi State making a hire of the last women's basketball coach, which was Sam Purcell. And he was telling me the best coaches, if you can't go get a sitting Power Five head coach, somebody's done it before, the best coach to hire is the person that was on a staff at a Power Five school that has recruited top five classes, that has gone out and recruited five-star players and won those battles, because they know how to finish the job in the living room. And Sam Purcell fit that mold too, and he's hired a coach now that has done that same thing at Tennessee, at Duke, at Louisville. She's been a head coach. She checks all the boxes.
Very good. Is that the last hire? Would that fill up the staff at this point?
I believe that's correct. I think they could hire somebody else. I'm not sure that they are.
Okay.
But this, she basically replaces Gabe Lazo, which is kind of strange that they basically trade out coaches, Tennessee and State.
And no harm, no foul. You just yeah.
Which, I mean, hers was just like she was not retained with the new staff. But
right.
I think this is a really good hire. I think it makes sense from a standpoint of hiring somebody that has the experience, and then her connection with Sam Purcell, having coached with him for 6 or 8 years at Louisville. They're very close. I think it just makes sense.
There you go. All right. Tomorrow's show is The Rumblings, where we have a sponsor on The Rumblings now. We'll tell you all about that on tomorrow's show. And, of course, you know, get your questions in. Robbie, if you'll fire off the tweet, we'll go ahead and do that. And then looking ahead to the rest of the week, we've got Governor's Cup. We'll recap that. I guess that's just going to be a late night on that one. And, we got some more football to talk about. I'm sure there'll be some recruiting news to pop up between now and then with the portal. And plenty of other stuff to talk about as well. Guys, have a great Tuesday. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.